I grew up in rural Western New York. Most people, when I say that I grew up in New York, they think I grew up in Manhattan. Though you can indeed get farther away from Manhattan than Western New York, as far as culturally speaking, it's hard to. We grew up in a country town. I graduated in a class of 75 in a small country school. We traveled 15 minutes to get to church on a drive, and there was not a fast food restaurant on the route. We were the type of people, and we lived in a world in which you had to get to the gas station before 7 o'clock, or it was closed. And you had to get to the bank before 5, or you wouldn't have money on a weekend unless you got there Friday by 5. And we grew up in a world in which we had to reclaim the forest in order to create a backyard. My parents bought property, and it was on about a 2-acre lot. And as we grew as a family, we pushed back the woods and the forest. And we continued to go through, and I remember the process of getting the ground ready to create lawn. You first had to go through and remove trees and stumps. You had to go through, and then after you had removed the big brush and the trees, you then had to remove the rocks from the soil. And then you had to till it and flatten it and prepare it. And then we seeded it. And when I say we seeded it, if there was such a thing as a lawn company, it didn't get to where we lived. Like pizza delivery, it was at least 30 years away from reaching my parents' home. And we went out, and we had buckets that we would tie to our waist, and we would sow grass seed after tilling the ground, after removing the rocks, after making sure all the roots and branches were pulled up. It was a process that took weeks. And sometimes, in some of the areas, it took seasons to get done. Sowing grass seed is not something that you do seed at a time. You spread it, and you share it, and you do it again after you've done it the first time. But we also planted trees. We planted fruit trees. We planted pine trees. Trees that I planted in the backyard and in the yard of our house are now 30 feet tall. Fruit trees are now old trees and have been bearing fruit for 20 years now. But I remember when they were saplings. I remember when you had to tie them to something else to keep them standing. It's amazing what God can do if we prepare the soil and if the tree's roots grow strong and deep. I tell you that story from my past because most people, when they read the parable of the sower and the soils, have not experienced that in their lives. They've never prepared the soil. They've never planted a crop. They've never waited on a tree to grow deep before it bears fruit. And because of that, many people in today's world read the parable of the sower and the soils and the seed, and they miss the point. They misunderstand the parable because all parables need to have context for you to understand it. You have to understand what Jesus is talking about. You see, the people of Jesus' time lived in an agrarian culture. They didn't buy their corn at the store. They grew it. They didn't get their bread wrapped and sliced. They picked the wheat, they ground it themselves, and they baked it in an oven, usually outside. All of these things made for a different life and a different understanding, we plant small. The sowers of Jesus' day planted big. And their soils were all understood. Oh, they didn't have pH balance tests. They didn't do some of the technological things that we do. But believe me, you don't need that if you understand your soil. If you live in it, if you've digged in it with your hands, if you've touched it and been on your knees on the ground with it. The soils that Jesus talks about are not monolithic. And this is one of the things that we have lost in the translation in the parable. When we pray, when we look at the soils in this parable, one of the things that we think of is these are four different types of people. That's not the case. Jesus is not talking about different kinds of soil. He's talking about soil at different times in the cultivation of the soil. Rocky soil is only different from good soil in that the rocks have been removed or broken down. Time is the difference in the soils. Time and cultivation. At some point, God, nature, and human beings change soil over time. Think about it this way. Have you ever seen blacktop with weeds popping out of it? All you got to do is go to the old mall area, and you'll see a large parking lot that's turning into a forest, right? What happened? Time and wear. And what happens is those weeds break down the blacktop. They burst through and they start pushing things around. Believe it or not, that blacktop is not good soil, is it? But even on concrete, blacktop and other things that are the path, eventually things break down. And weeds and thistles and thorns find root. It's part of the process. So the first thing we have to understand, if we're looking at the soils, and you ask what kind of soil you are, I want to make sure you know this. What you are is not what you can be. The first problem in this parable, the way we read it, is that we think that people are who they are, and they won't change. To think in those terms is to deny what God has set before us in both nature and in spirit. People change. Now, this is important for you sowers out there, because remember, Jesus sows the seeds, but he's given you the bag. He's asked you to take over that position. That's why we're the body of Christ, because we are the sowers of the seeds of the gospel in today's world. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, and just like my father asked me to strap a bucket on and sow the seeds around, so God has asked us as the church to do exactly the same thing. And you may have thought that you sowed seeds in this territory before, and nothing grew. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Sow again. Don't stop, because the weeds that choked out your plant last time have broken down the soil just enough so that the plant can grow right the next time. But we as people, we get exasperated by the failure of the crop. We think, I planted grass there last year, and the birds ate the seeds. I've done it. Have you done it? Guess what? You got to do it again. You can't just give up. Your job is to make sure that that lawn looks great. And so what do? You go up there and you chop it up again. You till it again. You turn it over again. You get the stones out of there. You pull the weeds. You do your job cultivating, and then you sow the seeds. Now, the truth of the matter is that none of us can actually make the seeds grow. But we can recognize that the soil changes. And as it changes, it can adapt to be, to go both in a way that creates better soil for the gospel. It could also go in the other way, can't it? We can take good soil, and by beating it up, we can turn it into a pathway. Because all a pathway is soil that's been stepped on too much. And folks, when you're looking at the kinds of soil you are, I'm going to tell you, life is either going to loosen you up for the gospel, or it's going to beat you into a sidewalk. And if you've been beaten into a sidewalk, and some people have by life, they've been stepped on so many times, and sometimes we in the church have stepped on them. Sometimes we've stepped on them so much that they can't grow anymore. The soil's become hard, and it's great when you want to wheel a wagon past it, right? Or if you want to drive a tractor over it. But if you want to plant a cherry tree on it, ain't going to work, right? We need to take responsibility for how we prepare our soil, how we are ready for it, whether we've allowed the storms of life to make us hard and impenetrable, or whether the storms of life have made us loose and capable of receiving the water and the seed that God is trying to plant in our lives. Jesus talks about four kinds of soil. And those soils become known as heart types. The first one is the pathway that the birds can just eat the seeds right off of. It's impenetrable. And this is a recognition of a blind heart. The hardness of the heart does not allow penetration of the Word of God. It simply doesn't. It bounces right off. It's like trying to plant a vegetable garden on a concrete table or slab. If you've ever tried to plant seed on a hardwood floor, you'll know that all you'll be able to do at the end of the day is sweep off the seed. It's not going to get in. And a hard heart doesn't allow the gospel to get in. The rocky heart, the rocky soil, is soil that, though it can penetrate in, cannot grow deep enough roots to sustain itself in the midst of anything. You've seen this kind of plant growing. Oftentimes, it grows in the cracks of a sidewalk. Oftentimes, you'll even see it in your yard. You'll see something that sprouts up, and all you got to do is take your foot and wipe over it, and it unroots the weed or the seed. It's right there on the surface, but it doesn't really ever get to be a life-sustaining growth that God wants or that we want. The rebellious heart is the soil that actually is surrounded by weeds and thorns. It's not that the soil's bad. It's that what surrounds it is actually choking out the good stuff. And oftentimes what happens with this kind of rebellious heart is the circumstances of a person's life. Oftentimes it's the people that they're hanging around. It's the family that they're connected to. It beats them up so bad that no matter how hard they try to create the deep rootedness in the gospel, that they keep getting choked out. You know, it's a person that says, I want to believe. I want to have faith in humanity and my church. But every time I go there, I feel bad about myself. Okay, guess what? If you're a thorn or a weed, the way you solve this problem is don't attack other people. One of the things that we got to realize, we got to understand that some of this is on us. Okay, if we don't want to be thorns and weeds, and come back next week because we're talking about thorns and weeds next week. And the last one is the heart that allows for the long growth that God wants, the deep rootedness that God wants in each of our lives. And that's the soil that is porous. It's the soil that melts in your hands. It allows for the depth of the root. It allows for the root to grow deep, for the water to saturate. It's the heart that is ready for the gospel. It's the heart that allows us to live in Christ. I want to make sure you understand something. All of us at one time or another were each of these four soils. We didn't start off as good soil usually. For the most part, we were one of these four. Now, maybe we started out at least a little rebellious. And when we were a kid, we probably had good soil, but we learned to hang out with the weeds and the thorns. Okay? Don't name them out loud, but you know who your weeds and thorns were. You know the people that turned you away from the gospel at one point or another. You know the things that got you angry. In the life of almost every person that comes to a church, to a new church, there's an old church that hurt them. Right? And there's a weed or a thorn that they remember, and they clearly remember. And they're afraid more than anything else of attaching themselves or growing deep roots because they don't want to be wounded again. And so what happens is the more they stay away from the cultivation that God wants, the harder they get. Rocks start to form, and eventually, over time, we beat down a path to where used to be good soil. If it can get bad because of experience, let me give you some hope. It could also get good. We need to take responsibility to prepare our soil correctly. What that means, and this is where the difficulty of life actually is for most of us, we have to realize that the way you prepare the soil is oftentimes violent and seems destructive to the soil. When we started in that forest, it was pulling things out. It was cutting things down. It was aggressive in many ways. It could be considered violent. And then once we got there, we had to use a pickaxe. And I got used to swinging an axe, a pickaxe, to loosen up the soil. And you'd go deep with the pickaxe. Because before you could even till it, you'd have to loosen it up by hand. And I remember some of the boulders we pulled out of that yard. I was a kid. Now, these boulders were probably this big, but when I was a kid, they seemed like they were this big. And we pulled them out of the ground because you couldn't till over it. You'd break your blades on the tiller. And so we started with the pickaxe, and we loosened it up. And we sweat, and sometimes we bled into the soil itself. And it takes that kind of work. And sometimes when you're the soil, it hurts. And it feels like someone's attacking you. In today's world, one of the worst things, one of the most difficult things to deal with is sin. And when we talk about sin, when we talk about the thorns and the thistles and the things that get in the way of deep growth, everyone feels like they're being attacked. You know it. You feel like you're being attacked when someone addresses you on your sin. And in our world today, one of the most difficult things is that the world doesn't want to deal with sin. That doesn't want to deal with the fact that God is trying to make you strong, to make you grow deep. Because the world loves a shallow Christian. A shallow Christian is a good person who doesn't bear fruit. And guess what? The church has learned to love a shallow Christian too. The job of the faithful is not to germinate. Hear that again. The job of the faithful is not to germinate. Yet that's what we track and that's what we congratulate. We love churches that have a lot of new people there. It's good. But recognize that means that there's not a whole lot of depth to those places and to those people. It takes time to grow deep. The problem with shallow is that shallow means that you're easily buffeted by the storms of life. And worse yet, shallow means that you haven't borne fruit. You see, the goal of the gospel is to be fruit-bearing. Now, grass can grow quick. We saw immediate results when we grew grass. It was a matter of weeks and you would see grass. But fruit trees were frustrating for me when I was a kid. Because, see, I planted a fruit tree in May and I expected to pick an apple by October. And what do you know about fruit trees? It takes years for a tree to bear fruit. Those who have vineyards or orchards know that they have to constantly be planting new trees so that they will come to their fruitful stages while the old trees stop bearing fruit. Churches have seasons of fruit. But if we don't have generational growth, if we don't plant new trees today who are shallow in their root system, then they won't have the time to grow deep and bear fruit for tomorrow. Generational churches and generational growth is the best way of doing it. It needs to go deep in the root, in good soil, to have the energy and the sustaining power to bear fruit. But that's what God wants. God doesn't just want you to accept Jesus. That's only the first step. The step that God really wants is for you to be into a fruit-bearing life where everything in your life actually multiplies the kingdom. You become a sower of seeds. Think about it this way. The parable begins with a sower of seeds, and it ends with a fruit-bearing tree. For those of you who haven't studied agriculture, every piece of fruit is a sower of seeds. Simply put, when an apple hits the ground and rots, the seeds fall out and go into the ground and plant another apple tree. It does it without thinking, without considering. It doesn't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to drop an apple so I could plant more trees. No, there's no intention to it. It simply is what it does. Every once in a while, if you've ever eaten cherries and thrown the cherry pits out in the yard, cherries can grow, given the right soil and the right opportunity. We had berry bushes all over our yard. You know what the berry bushes were? The seeds that my mom strained out of the preserves that she was making when canning. We dumped them in the backyard. We dumped them by the fence. And you know what happened? My kids still go and pick berries off of those plants, off of those vines. Every time they go to my parents' house, they go and they go, hey, there's the raspberries over there. That was an accident. But they grew, and they were strong, and they keep fertilizing, they keep germinating, they keep growing. When your life becomes as God wants it to be, you will become a sower of seeds, and you won't even know you're doing it. If you're young in the gospel, and many of us are, many of us haven't gotten to that point where we're just automatically bearing fruit, then guess what? Now you've got a plan to bear fruit. We like to talk about the idea that we can just go out and everything is an invitation to the church. But it's hard for us, isn't it? If it's hard for you to invite someone to church, if it's difficult for you to invite someone and share the gospel message, I want to let you know that that means that you're not quite at fruit bearing yet. And so it means you have to try to bear fruit. Don't give up. God's preparing your soil. God wants you to try. In order for you to try, you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to experience some pain. You're going to have to actually get a pickaxe and dig it deeper. It's not easy, but it's necessary. God wants you to be a fruit-bearing, faithful Christian. I love this next picture. This isn't me as a kid, but someday I aspire to be this man. He's an old man walking through his field, and he's sharing his seed. He's doing what men do when they're agricultural men. You never stop. And you might say, well, there's already some stuff on the ground there. You see the cover. Every part of your life is continuing to make sure that your garden is cultivated in the right way. I promise you, if you don't weed your garden this year, the weeds aren't going to go away next year. And I promise you this, if you weed your garden this week, the weeds will be back next. It never ends. We're constantly in the state of preparing and cultivating our soil, always turning last year's yield over to help next year. Always working, never completed. But the work of sowing is the sign of fruit. And so I want to challenge you to something. If your life isn't producing fruit in a way that makes it easy, then I'm going to ask you to work at producing fruit. I'm going to ask you to intentionally sow seeds. My kids have a section of the yard that we've devoted to a basketball hoop. It's in the backyard, and it was once grass. Notice I said once. Over the years, when they've played basketball on it, it's actually now a different level than the grass around it. It's a very interesting kind of three-point shaped U, and it's hard dirt now. Nothing grows on it. Nothing grows on it. A couple times I thought maybe I'll plant some grass seed back on it, and I've decided now that's a path now. That's, you know, the next thing I'm going to do with that is lay blacktop on it. Because as long as they're stepping on it, as long as they're playing ball on it, that's not gonna have grass. What are you doing with your life? Are you living a life that has created blacktop? Are you living a life that's created good soil that can allow for growth? Are there weeds there? Do you need to pluck some things? And more importantly, if you're at that place where you're fruit bearing, are you sharing the seeds? I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. You see, if you want to grow as a Christian, if you want to grow the kingdom of God in this world, then the people who have the deep roots need to be sharing the seed. They need to become sowers. That's the parable, that eventually the tree that the sower has planted will bear fruit and become a sower itself. You are the sowers. And so as you leave today, Pastor Ed Grable is going to have some invitation cards. Now, here's the truth. In order to do this the way that the Bible does it, we need to have thousands of these cards passed out. Because the truth of the matter is that you know and I know that if you give out 10 cards, one person will respond, right? You can't plant like you're doing a high school project and watching something germinate in a little Dixie cup. If you're going to grow a church, if you're going to grow the gospel, if you're going to grow the kingdom, you've got to plant like you're trying to build a stadium and put down grass for the whole turf. It means shedding a lot of seed. It means buying buckets and sending it out there. You've got to be devoted to it. Every apple on the apple tree has how many seeds in it? And how many apples? It's exponential. And the apple tree does it like that because even the apple tree knows that if another tree is going to grow, you'd better have hundreds of seeds hit the ground. This is the parable. And this is our place in it. Sow your seeds. Invite people. But don't try to pick and choose who you invite. Invite everybody. Make sure you're generous in that. And don't be afraid to go back to old territory that you don't think is going to grow. I hear churches sometimes say, well, we already tried that section of town. Yeah, right. 10 years ago? 20 years ago? It's changed. And more importantly, the people there have changed. And today, their soil might be fertile. They might be ready. You take care of the sowing. And God will take care of the growing. Recognize that's a hopeful statement, but it also could be a pointed one. Because sometimes we don't sow where we don't think God can grow. The simple truth is, God has that charge. Your job is to share the gospel to everyone that you encounter, no matter who they are. No matter whether you think the weeds will choke it out or not, whether you think the soil is too shallow or not, whether there's rocks there or not, or whether it's the path, sow the seed and let God take care of the rest. Let's pray. Loving God, you have given to us a parable that recognizes our lives. It shares with us the understandings of the world, and it lets us know the power of your gospel. Lord God, help us to know that each of us have our own work to do. We are simultaneously the soil and the seed. We are the plant that grows and becomes the sower. We are the creature who does the work of God. We are those who are saved, who are sent by our Savior to be the body of Christ. Lord God, each of us are in the process of growing deeper. Help us to be deep in faith, to sow seeds of the gospel in agape love, and to be the people of God in all ways. Lord God, help us to take seriously this parable and to live it in growing through faith and through the Spirit of God. If there's anyone here who feels like God is calling them to grow deeper, if you're being buffeted by the world and by the difficulties that are surrounding you, take heart. Put your focus in God. Remove the rocks and the weeds from your own territory. Find support in those who will grow strong near you. Bind yourself to them so you can grow strong and allow the Word of God to penetrate and to change your heart and loosen your soil. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.